President Romney, I'd like to say something, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, good morning. How's everybody? Everybody good today? Hey, guess what? Y'all know what today is? Quick, somebody tell me. Nobody? It's the first Sunday of what?
Advent.
First Sunday of Advent. Amen. And we just rolled out of what? On Thursday. Thanksgiving. Amen. So God kind of gave me a multi-use message, I guess you could say, about being thankful for Christ. Being thankful for what we're getting ready to celebrate through the Advent season. Amen. And through the birth. So your title today is this: Be Thankful for Christ. That's a good one, right? Amen. And we're going to get into that here in a minute. Your main scripture will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25-33. Matthew 6, 25-33. NIV version says it this way: Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, he will not much more clothe you. You little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek you first what? His kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine today, Jesus. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, may we get something new today out of your scripture that we didn't see in it before, Lord. Lord, may we want to grow a little bit closer to you through the Thanksgiving season that we just had, Lord. And being thankful for your God, your Christ, that you give us through this Advent season, Lord, and His birth, Jesus. And Lord, we ask you just be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Guys, here's the good thing. Here's the good thing. Together we're going to gather and reflect on one of the most profound calls in Scripture. To live lives of prayer. To live lives of intercession and thanksgiving. Paul's words in 1 Timothy 2, 1-7, not only guide us in how to approach God, but remind each one of us why we ought to be filled with gratitude for the gift of Christ, our Savior and our Mediator. Amen. The first part of verse 1 and 2, Paul begins by urging each one of us to pray for all people. Not just one, not just me, right? Not just you, but to pray for all people. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all the godliness and holiness. I didn't tell you where I was getting that from, did I? Let me reread that. That's your second scripture. That's coming from 1 Timothy 2, 1-7, which says this, NIV. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Let me change pages here. Sorry about that. Prayer itself is not just a personal act, is it? But it is a communal duty. Notice that Paul includes thanksgiving alongside the petitions and the intercessions. Gratitude is not an afterthought, or should not be an afterthought, should it? But it should be a central element of our relationship with God. Why is thanksgiving so important? Because gratitude shifts our focus from what we lack to what we have. And what do we do? Or what do we have? We have Christ, the only one who secures our peace and our holiness. Take a moment and think about those in authority. The people in our communities, and even those that you find difficult to love on. Are you praying for them right now? We should be, right? Are you giving thanks for the opportunity to show Christ's love through our prayers? Verse 3 and 4, Paul continues, "This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Our thanksgiving should be rooted in the knowledge of God's heart. He desires that no one perishes, but that we all come to Him, come to know Him. This universal invitation to salvation is the ultimate reason that we should be given thanks. We can be thankful because our God is not limited to a select few. Amen? His love is not limited to a select few of us. It's expansive, isn't it? It's inclusive, and it's redemptive. Amen? Christ's sacrifice on the cross opened up a way, and the way, for all of us to be reconciled of God. In verses 5 and 6, we truly see that He is our mediator. Here He lies the foundations of our gratitude. For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people. Christ truly is our mediator, isn't He? Through Him, we have a direct access to God. No longer do we need a priest in our lives or a ritual to approach the throne of grace. We have the grace fallen here to earth, amen, in Jesus. Christ bridges that gap that was caused by the sin, bringing us into a personal relationship with the Father. Not only is Christ our mediator, but He is also our ransom, isn't He? He paid the ultimate price for us, didn't He? He died on that cross for us, amen? His life for our freedom. That's not a gift that we earn, is it? I don't know about you, but I'm not worthy of it. How about you? But it is a gift of grace, isn't it? How can we not be thankful for such an overwhelming act of love and mercy and grace for us? And for this purpose, I was appointed herald and the apostle. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Just as Paul was called to share that good news, guess what? So are we. We are called just like Paul was to share that good news. Thanksgiving for Christ should overflow into proclamations. When we're truly grateful, we cannot keep it to ourselves, can we? We get excited and want to tell somebody else. We want to bubble out of us. Amen? Think about the people in our lives who might need to hear about Christ today. Let your gratitude compel you to share the hope and the peace that you have found in Him. We can truly cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. Start each day by thanking God for Christ's sacrifices and mediation for us. We can truly pray for all people, including our prayers for leaders, our neighbors, and even our enemies. Amen. God calls us to do our enemies too, right? In our daily prayers. And He gives us an opportunity to share the gospel. But our thankfulness for Christ motivates us to share His love with others. Sorry about that. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7, Paul reminds us that our lives should be marked of prayer, of intercession, and thanksgiving. Above all, we're called to be thankful for Christ, who was our mediator, our ransom, and our Savior. As we go forth today, let us be a people who reflect the true heart of God, a heart full of grace, a heart full of love, and a desire for all to come to the knowledge of truth. Let our thanksgiving for Christ not only transform our lives, but may it also inspire others to seek Him as our personal Savior as well. Amen. Now Matthew 6, 25-33. We get a cultivating of gratitude through trusting God, through His provisions, and seeking His kingdom, not ours. Amen? Thanksgiving itself is not merely a holiday, is it? Or a fleeting sentiment. But it is a lifestyle rooted in faith. In Matthew 6, 25-33, Jesus invites His disciples to live free from worry by trusting in God's provision and focusing on His kingdom. This passage, I get that word out, challenges each one of us to anchor our gratitude, not in circumstances, right, but in our Christ. We can trust God's care. It says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. God has a sovereignty over us as creation. God points to birds, or Jesus points to birds, which neither sow nor reap, yet God feeds them. Amen? This teaches us that God's care and love for us extends to all of His creation. And humans, made in His own image, right? We are definitely of a greater value than those animals and birds. Amen? Gratitude grows when we recognize that our God is our ultimate provider. And anxiety often stems from focusing on what we lack rather than what God has provided for us. When we trust God's care, we shift from anxiety to assurance. We can reflect on that daily, can't we? Our daily provisions as reminders of God's faithfulness for us. We also see that we can embrace His provisions. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? I don't think any of us can, right? I think if we're all anxious living all the time, we're probably going to lose time on our lives, right? Because of all the worry. And in reality, all that worry is futile, isn't it? Worry accomplishes nothing at all. It neither adds time nor solves problems, does it? Jesus uses lilies and grass as an example of God's provisions for the seemingly insignificant. But we know that God's provision is abundant, isn't it? If God clothes the fields with beauty, how much more will He provide for each one of us? Gratitude grows as we trust God's goodness, even in seasons of scarcity. Get that word out. Reflect on times that we've had when God has met our needs in unexpected ways, when we didn't see it coming. Amen. You might want to keep it even a gratitude journal. I know some of y'all like journals, right? A gratitude journal with a record of God's faithfulness to each one of us. We got to prioritize God's kingdom in our lives. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's a call to be kingdom focused. Amen. Not self or worldly focused. But Jesus redirects our priorities, don't He? Instead of worrying about food and clothing, we're called to seek God's kingdom. Amen. Gratitude flows from aligning our hearts with God's promises. We also see that He has a lot of promises to provide to us. When we seek His kingdom, God's promises to meet, or God promises to meet our heart, our needs. Thanksgiving becomes a natural response as we experience God's provision. How can we do it? How can we serve? How can we seek that kingdom first? We got to serve others as an expression of gratitude. Share the gospel as an act of thanksgiving for what Christ has already done in your life. And we have to live like we're thankful to Christ. Thankfulness overcomes worry that we have in our lives. Gratitude shifts our focus from temporary needs to eternal blessings in Christ. Remember Romans 8:32 said this: He who did not spare His own Son, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Amen. Don't worry. God's got a provision for us coming. Amen. And that thankfulness is anchored truly in our Christ. Jesus is truly the ultimate proof of God's love and His care. As we trust Him, we experience a peace and a joy that transcends circumstances. It transcends understanding. Amen. Thanksgiving is not about denying life's challenges, but entrusting in God's provision through Christ. By remembering His care, and embracing His provision, and seeking His kingdom and not ours, we cultivate a heart of gratitude, don't we? Imagine a young man named Sam sitting on a park bench, his head in his hands. Life has been overwhelming. Bills are piling up. His job felt precarious. And he wasn't sure how he would provide for his family. As he looked to the sky, he noticed the birds fleeting joyfully from tree to tree, chirping as they didn't have a care in the world. That scene planted a thought in his heart. How do they live so free when I am so burdened? How does a bird live so free when I am so burdened? This question brings us truly to the heart of Matthew 6:25-33. In this passage, Jesus speaks directly to our anxieties, redirecting our focus from worry to the thankfulness of God's provision. Jesus begins by addressing a universal struggle for us. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He uses an example of birds who do not sow, do not reap, yet are fed by the Father. Amen. Worry is a natural response to uncertainty. Sam's worries about finances, family, and future are ones that we can all relate to, right? But Jesus asked a pointed question. Can any of you, or any one of you, by worrying, add a single minute or hour to your life? The truth is, Worry doesn't solve problems, does it? But it multiplies them. It clouds our ability to see what God's hand in our lives working. Picture a man trying to drive through a heavy fog. He inches forward, but his vision is blurred. The fog represents worry. It blinds us to the road ahead of us and to the signs that God provides along the way. He provides provision along the way. Amen. Next, Jesus turns our attention to the lilies in the field. He points out their beauty, surpassing even the splendor of Solomon, right? Yet they do not labor or spin. That's a reminder for us of God's care for His creation. If He lavishes such attention on flowers and birds, how much more will He care for us, His children? Sam, sitting on that bench, realized that the birds weren't anxious because they trusted the rhythms of creation. God provides for them without fail. Amen. And when we reflect on our own lives, how often has God met our needs? Maybe not always in the way that we were expected, right? But always in His perfect way. Recognizing His faithfulness fuels our thankfulness, which is an antidote to any worry that we have. And we can seek truly, without worry, the kingdom first. Jesus concludes with that profound call: seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. For Sam, in the story, that meant shifting his focus from his problems to God's promises. Instead of obsessing over your own ability to solve everything, he began to pray, to read Scripture, and to serve others. Imagine holding a glass of water at arm's length. At first, it's easy, isn't it? But the longer that we hold that out, the heavier that glass of water gets, the heavier it feels. Life's worries are like that glass, aren't they? When we hold on to them, they weigh us down. But when we place them in God's hands, we find peace, comfort, and strength. Seeking first God's kingdom means trusting His priorities over our own. When we do that, our perspective changes, don't it? Instead of scarcity, we see abundance. Instead of fear, we have experienced true gratitude in our lives. As Sam walked away from the park, from that park bench, he felt that weight lift. The same God who fed the birds and clothed the lilies was his Father. In that moment, he chose to live with a heart of gratitude, trusting in Christ's care. Today, as we reflect on Matthew 26, 25 through 33, let us remember this. Thanksgiving isn't just a holiday. Amen? It's a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is truly a lifestyle for each one of us. It's an acknowledgement of who God is and how faithfully He provides for us. So instead of worrying about tomorrow, let us give thanks for today. Let us place our trust in Christ, the one and only one who promises to meet our every need. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As we come for our final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your faithfulness. Teach us each to trust You with our own needs and to live every day with thankful hearts. Help us seek Your kingdom first, not our own, not the world's, knowing You will provide what we need through our lives, through any turmoils and worries that we have, Lord. In Jesus' name, as we reflect on Matthew 6, 25 through 33, Let us surrender our worries to God. Let us live with thankfulness rooted in our Christ. Today, take a moment. Thank God for His faithfulness. And commit to seeking His kingdom above all. Lord, we thank You for Your abundant provisions and Your unfailing care in our lives. Teach us each to trust You, to seek Your kingdom, and to live with gratitude in every season that we go through, Lord. May Your hearts overflow with thanksgiving in Christ. Lord, may You put somebody in front of us today, Lord. Lord, that we can tell about Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. Lord, what truly being thankful is all about, Lord. And that's Your Son to die on that cross for us, Lord. Again, as we get ready to celebrate that birth through this Advent season, Lord. We thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.